This morning, I'm going to share with you, exhort with one another on a topic called a profitable life. A profitable life. Now, I know that businessman is very concerned with profits. Yes or no? Day and night thinking how to make profits out of his business. Now that is understandable as a businessman. But we as a Christian, how do we view our spiritual life? Do we expect to have a profitable life? Not in monetary terms, but in spiritual sense. Meaning that there will be a lot of eternal value in our spiritual life. So today, from this passage that you and I are familiar with, we're going to think, how can we have a profitable life? Now, you know the verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now the first thing, if you want to have a profitable life, is to live a selfless life. Here Jesus said, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Why Jesus said that? If you look at the two verses before it, you know how he rebuked Peter. Peter, when Jesus told Peter that he's going to die, going to be betrayed, Peter said, Jesus, don't go there. It's too dangerous. Why risk your life? Why give away your life? But Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. And then what did he say? For thou sufferest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Means you're thinking about from the will of man, not according to God's will. Now, many a time, we think about ourselves. Self is the worst enemy that you and I have. Therefore, Jesus in the very first place said that, deny yourself. Deny the old self. Deny the sinful self. Deny the worldly self. You know about John Song. He is the one that's totally bereft or let go of himself. You know what happened? He was a very smart man. He went to US to study. And ultimately, he got a PhD in chemistry. At that time, to be a PhD chemistry for a Chinese is a marvelous achievement. But after he believed in Jesus Christ, he had a vision. He saw that in a coffin, like a body, his body, dead body there. But his dead body was with the garb of the PhD, you know, a doctorate. That suddenly, the body started to move. He was so frightened. Wow, started to move. It shows the pride in him. It shows that he has not been dead to himself. So he said, God, I need to die to myself. This self, this sinful self, this selfish self, this proud self has to die. So on the way back to China to answer God's calling, you know what did he do? He took all the gold chain that has been awarded to him, all the things thrown down into the sea, except one thing, his doctorate certificate. He said that, I just wanted to show to my father, my parents, that I have achieved this thing. Other than that, all down into the sea. All the world, the self, all the sins behind him. Now, brothers and sisters, you and I, friends speaking, we have been bogged down by self. We have been bogged down by self. When I talk about the self, meaning that the sinful self, the selfish self, the proud self, the old self. No wonder in Galatians it, the old man has to be crucified on the cross. The old man. Though we have been born again, but the old self will just keep coming up. Just keep coming out. And if you don't deal with this sinful self, all of us will not have a profitable life. So John Sung, in his preaching, he normally brought along a coffin. And every time, he just take out one piece of paper. And inside is written one sin. Maybe because the pride. And then take another sin. This one is jealousy. Then another one, lust. Then another one by one. And he asked people to turn away from this. Turn away from all these sins, the sinful self. Then the person will be not only renewed, but will be a holy vessel for the Lord. Now you and I, brothers and sisters, to be frank, I'm guilty of it also. We have not died to ourselves. It's not easy. I know that to talk is not easy. It's not easy. Die to yourself. If you can do that, God will bless your life. God will bless your ministry. If not, we'll keep on walking like a sinful man, like an old man, like a strengthless man. May God help us. This is the first thing. Live a selfless life. The second thing is to live for Christ and His gospel only. If you were to read verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Here is clearly stated, how can you have a profitable life? You live it for Christ and His gospel's sake. As simple as that. Now, when I talk about this thing, it doesn't apply only to full-time people like us. Here, Jesus mentioned this to His disciples and the people. All of us. All of us. We are to live for Christ. We are to live for His gospel. But many a time, we do not. We do not. We live for ourselves. We live for our family only. We live for our own ambition. We live for our selfish motivation. You take a good look. All of us, most of us, I don't say, oh, most of us, we do that. I'm guilty of that also. If we can start from today, say that, Lord, I want to live for You and for the gospel's sake. Do you know there's a gospel booklet called The Reason Why? Do you know the reason why this person by the name Robert Laidlaw, why he wrote this gospel booklet? He being a businessman, no? He said, businessman cannot live for God. One businessman only make money on it. That's all. As much money as you can. That's all. No. His company in New Zealand. And under him, there are a few thousand workers. But his heart is burdened with their souls. So burdened that he said, how can I reach out to these unbelievers, the lost souls? So he said, I'm going to write this gospel booklet to share with them the good news of God. God really blessed this booklet. And up to today, there are 50 million copies printed. And it has been a very famous gospel booklet. Now, so all of us can live for Christ. And if we don't live for Christ, our life will just be like that. Same, same. Sama, sama. Same. You die, I die. We walk there and die there. But if you were to live for Christ, it will be different. Jim Elliot, you know him. Jim Elliot, the American missionary to the South America, Ecuador. He was caught and he went there, tried to reach out to their savages, the man-eating people. He tried to, you know, befriend them, throwing gifts, you know, from aeroplanes. After some time, he thought that, oh, it's time to, you know, land on near to that their place, the place where they live, and try to get near to them. But all of them, he and another four missionaries, were killed. Now to us, he said, ah, what a tragedy. What a sad thing. But for gospel's sake, for Christ's sake, they did that. And they sacrificed their lives. But the moment the news reached America, there are about 5,000 Christians who were willing to say that, I'm going to consecrate myself to be missionaries. Tell me, have they lived their life in vain? He died at a very young age, much younger than me. But God, through his death and others, raised up many more that can go out, reach out to the lost. Now you want to live a profitable life? Live it for Christ and for his gospel only. Next, how do we live a profitable life? You need to live a submissive life. Here, if you go back to verse 34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Take up his cross. Now, I suppose you know the meaning of taking up the cross. Now, to be crucified, the person has to carry his or her cross to the side before he will be crucified. So it will be something very burdensome. It could be something very disgraceful, something unbearable, and so on. Now, here it says that carry, let him take up his cross. Now, all of us will have our own cross. None of us will be exempted. You know what is your cross. I know what is my cross. But the most important thing that this cross has to be carried for Christ and his gospel's sake. Now, from previous nights of sharing, we know about Reverend McCrae. He has been carrying a very heavy cross. A cross full of threats. A cross full of dangers. Now, he has to carry it. Now, you have to carry it willingly. Yes, at that point of time, you know, he lived in a bulletproof environment. I can't imagine. Day in and day out, bulletproof. You cannot go for a picnic. You cannot go for a swim. You cannot go, let's say, you know, somewhere, do your own things. No way. It's always bulletproof. For fear of your life, that what this is the last day. Of course, there is assurance of heaven. But as human, it is a tremendous stress, tremendous worry in ourselves. But he has gone through it. Now you and I also have our own cross to carry. Carry it willingly. God has put such a cross in your life. There must be a purpose. And carry it faithfully. People may ridicule. People may prosecute. People may persecute or even execute. But carry it right to the end. Because that is the cross that all of us got to carry. And you know that at the end of the cross will be glory. No cross, no glory. No pain, no glory. Yes, no? I know that, I mean, from experience, all of us know. If you gain something easily, that is something not of a much value. But if you gain it through a very painful, through a very hard way, now it's something very sweet and something very, very glorious. So if now you are going through a very tough time in your life, a heavy cross on your shoulder, don't murmur. If it is for gospel's sake, if it is for Christ's sake, keep carrying it. God will enable you. God will help you through. And at the end of the day, you look at it. Thank God. You have walked with me. You have enabled me. And I am now with you. And as I said, different people have different kind of cross. You may think that yours is very heavy. But you know that there's a person by the name Joseph Scriven, the one who wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. The moment you sing this song, you think, "Wow, what a friend with Jesus." This writer must have experienced, you know, God's peace and so on. But you look at his cross, you'll find that it's a very, very heavy cross compared to most of us. He's an Irish. And then he went to Trinity College over in London and then graduated with a degree. And then he became a teacher and about to settle down to marry. The day before he was to marry the girl just died. So you see how painful? Must be very painful, you know? The day before. Now, then he migrated to Canada. Then started life again. Again, he found a sweetheart. Wow. Yeah, it's time for me to settle down. But a few weeks before the marriage, the fiancé got sick also. After a few weeks, also died. Twice, such kind of, the disaster doesn't come one, but two. No joke. He said it. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to vow a vow of poverty. And he tried to help the destitute, the poor, by becoming a woodcutter. Cut for them. And then because he was so poor, 10 years later, when his mother about to passed away. He couldn't afford the fees to get a boat, a ship to go back. But he wrote three verses that is found in the "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now, friend, brothers and sisters, his cross is a very, very heavy cross. But still, he endured it. And he came up with such a famous hymn. "What a Friend We Have Jesus." Now, you and I, keep carrying your cross. Don't murmur. God has a purpose and God will enable. The last thing, how can we have a profitable life? To live a life following Christ only. Yes, here he says that, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Follow who? Follow Christ only. Follow Christ only. Yes, you and I have to follow Christ only. If we were to follow any other people or any other thing, you're out of the way. Your life will not be profitable. And if you were to look at verse 38, here what it says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generations, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now, we are not to be ashamed of Christ and his word. In other words, we follow Christ, we have to follow him courageously. Courageously. Especially at the end time. At the end time. We know the people, the Christians in the Middle East, how they suffer. It's not like us. Yes, I want to believe in Christ. Yes, that's all. There, they have to. You want or not? This is true. You can see in the video. Yes, no? If one day such thing will come upon us, you want to believe or not? Or you want? If you don't believe, you may be set free. If not, will you be ashamed of him or his word? Now, we have to be prepared for that. I pray that God will help me to stand, help you also to be courageous. If not, when the day comes, many, many will fall away. True color will be revealed. This is to prepare ourselves. If not, we will be very shaky. And so we follow Christ at all cost. At all cost. That is what Christ wants us to do. And what it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We only need his note of approval. We only need his smile. Nothing more. If we follow others, you will be doomed. Now, if there be any great man or any famous man that deviate from the truth, don't follow. Follow Christ only. And you will make the right choice. Because that will determine how you're going to end your life with a profitable or non-profitable life. Just to end it. You know about David Livingstone? All of us know. He was sent as a missionary to the Africa. And when he died, his heart was taken out and buried there. And his body was carried across the continent. How the distance is 1,000 miles. And then his body was brought back to London. And then what I know is finally was buried at Westminster Abbey. On the day of funeral procession, there was a man crying very, very loudly, sobbing very loudly. So someone was very curious, say, why? Why are you crying so loudly? Are you related to him? He said, no, I'm not related to him. Then why are you crying? He said that many, many years ago, when there was an altar call given issue, David Livingstone answered the call to go to Africa. I did. Today you look at his life. You look at my life. I cried because I didn't make that decision. Now, brothers and sisters, a profitable life and a non-profitable life lies in these few things. First, to live a selfless life. Secondly, is to live for Christ and His gospel. And to live a submissive life. And finally, to follow Christ only. If you were to bear all this in mind, brothers and sisters, your life and my life will be totally different. May God help each one of us. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word, may your word encourage and enlighten each one of us, knowing that we need you to guide us. Help us, Lord. Sometimes we are being influenced by the world, by the sin so much that our spiritual eyes are blurred and we become so habitual in our life, Lord. Lord, may you, through the life of the past saints and your word, that our life can be renewed, can be changed, can be conformed to your way and not to the way of the world. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.